with us, and hope you're staying somewhat warm. So let's begin with a word of prayer, and then I'll introduce our Sunday school this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for your goodness to us. Thank you that we can gather this morning in this place to be encouraged by the ministry of those outside of our fellowship who love you and love your word. Lord, I pray that this morning's Sunday school time would be encouraging. Lord, that it would be convicting, that we would all be more thankful and useful of the scriptures that you've given to us. Lord, bless this time in Christ's name. Amen. Well, every couple years, it seems like, I enjoy meeting with the Gideons and enjoy hearing about the ministry. And I have always enjoyed the Gideons' desire and just single-minded focus of scriptures, getting them into the hands of the people. And so this is your third or fourth time here, I believe, since I've been here. Yep. And so it's been a blessing to be encouraged every year and or every couple years. And so but it'll be good to hear about the ministry of the Gideons that we can pray for, and if you're so led to give towards as a great ministry in our time. So without further ado,
thank you, Pastor. Good morning, everyone. Step up here a second so I can leave that there. My name is Tim Drugsma. I'm down from Red Wing this morning. Frosty little drive, and we appreciate you giving us time to come spend a little time with you and talk about the work of the Gideons. Normally, when I go to a church, as I will do later today, I do a little 4 or 5 minute presentation in the middle of the service, but I was asked to come and share in your Sunday school time, and I appreciate that invitation. As I thought about what to talk about, I thought maybe I'd tell you a little story about the Gideons and how they got started, and the history of the organization, because it's a Midwestern story. As I mentioned, I live in Red Wing, and if I wanted to drive down to Chicago, I would get on Highway 61, go down to La Crosse, get on the freeway, and head off to Chicago. If you continue on Highway 61, instead of getting on the freeway, you go through La Crosse, and you start traveling down into southwestern Wisconsin, and eventually you'll come to a little town about half an hour, 45 minutes south of La Crosse, a little town called Boscobel. Boscobel, not a very big town. I think now it's about 1,700 or 1,800 people. And in the middle of Boscobel, on the main street, there's an old, old building called the Central House Hotel. And the Central House Hotel was a very busy, thriving place back in the late 1800s. That region of La Crosse was served by the rails, and traveling salesmen were the main form of commerce back then. Of course, you had no telephone, you had no internet, and so the way things would get sold was you hired someone to go around and peddle your wares in all these little small towns, take orders, and then later you'd have them shipped. And one night in 1898, a gentleman named Samuel Hill was staying at the Central House Hotel in Boscobel. And early in the evening, another man arrived named John Nicholson. And the two knew each other. They sold different things, but they had known each other, bumped into each other over the years because they sold in the same sort of territory. And the hotel clerk, when Mr. Nicholson arrived, said, "I'm sorry, we're completely sold out tonight. We don't have any rooms available. There was some sort of convention in town. And if you know any of the people staying here, because I know you traveling salesmen know each other a little bit, perhaps you could get one of them to share the room with you." And Mr. Nicholson stood around a little bit, and finally he recognized Mr. Hill and said, "Oh, yeah, I can." So they went to Mr. Hill and said, "Would you mind if Mr. Nicholson shared your room tonight?" And he said, "No, that'd be fine." So they had dinner together, and eventually it became time to go upstairs and go to bed. And I'm going to read you a little bit of the interaction that took place that night in that room at the Central House Hotel. This is from a book. I'll tell you a little bit more about this book later, called Witness to History. and it's the historical story of the Gideons. Okay, so Mr. Nicholson, Mr. Hill go up to the room. As Hill began to doze off, Nicholson went through his sales orders. As he finished, he said, "I make it a habit to read a passage of Scripture and talk to my Lord before going to bed each night." Hill responded that he was also a Christian, and maybe they could share some devotions together. They began reading from John 15, verse 16, which was especially meaningful to them. The verse is, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." And the story goes on that they ended up talking all through the night. And at one point, Mr. Nicholson said, "Isn't it odd that we knew each other all this time, and yet we had no idea that each other was a Christian until we happened to share that little devotion?" And wouldn't it be nice if all these other traveling salesmen making the rounds had a way to connect with other Christian men and share a little fellowship and a little devotion like we did tonight? And so the two of them decided that, yes, we should put some sort of organization together that would allow Christian traveling salesmen to find each other, to identify each other on the road. They weren't exactly sure how to do that, but they said, yeah, that would be a good idea. Let's get together a couple of months from now and talk about this some more. And I'd like to report that, yes, it was a huge success. Their idea was genius. The flame burned brightly and everything took off and it was all wonderful from there. But that wouldn't be the truth. The truth of the matter is both of them sort of forgot about that conversation until about 5 months later they bumped into each other in Beloit, Wisconsin. And they said, "Oh yeah, we kind of had that idea. We should do something with that." So they planned a meeting. And they went around and they invited, they talked to a few people that they knew in that area, and they said, "We're going to have a meeting in about a month, and we want all these traveling people to show up and figure out what to do with this organization." And the day came, a Saturday afternoon, they had their big get-together, their organizational meeting all planned, again in Beloit. And again, I'd like to say, dozens of men showed up, and they organized, and they took off, and they went out and spread the word. But again, that wouldn't be the truth. One guy showed up. One guy. Mr. William Knights. So now there's three of them in Beloit, Wisconsin. But they're determined. They want to put some sort of organization together. And so they spend some time in prayer. But the first thing they do is they say, "Well, we got to have a name for this group." And Mr. Hill said, "Well, we should call it the Christian Traveling Men's Association." And one of the others said, "You know, that's too long a name. We got to come up with a name." So they decided to bow their heads in prayer. And they said, "Whoever comes up with an inspiration first, just say it out loud." And so the three of them sat there with bowed heads. And all of a sudden, Mr. Knights put his head up and he says, "We're going to be the Gideons." And they opened their Bibles and they read the story of Gideon, and which some of you will be familiar with. Gideon was an Old Testament story, someone who was asked by the Lord to help fight the Midianites, who were kind of this roving band of marauders. And Gideon listened to the Lord, came up with a plan inspired by the Lord, and they defeated the Midianites. It's a longer involved story. Sometimes I'm asked to preach it, and I have a whole presentation. I tell who was Gideon, and we talk about all the things that happened then in that battle. But back to that. So they decide to call themselves the Gideons, inspired by the story of Gideon in the Old Testament. They, at that point, plan another meeting. Well, first of all, they have to have officers. So they make one of them the president, one's vice president, the other one's the secretary. You got three guys, they've all got a position now. They plan another meeting, and they get some more people to show up. A couple months later, a few more traveling salesmen, and they start organizing a little bit, and they find the way that they can leave something in a hotel, a little notice that says, "If you're a Christian interested in meeting other Christian businessmen, talk to the desk clerk and we can make arrangements and this and that. And they did that for a few years, and the organization grew some. Within 5 years, they had about 300 members, traveling salesmen who moved around the area and sought out each other. They'd meet and they'd have prayer and devotions and just a chance to be with fellow Christians while they're on the road. And then things kind of plateaued. They thought, well, we need something more. This is a good idea, but somehow we're not really getting it to work. The organization, as I said, was up to a few hundred men. So they decided they would have a convention. They'd had a convention in 1908. And they got a couple hundred of these Gideons together. And they said, we need a project. And someone came up with the idea of putting Bibles in hotels. That if you could put a Bible there so that people who were away from home, traveling, would have a way to have a copy of the Word of God, it would be provided to them. And the very first convention pooled some money. They bought a bunch of Bibles, and they put them in the Superior Hotel in Missoula, Montana. You can go to the Missoula these days, and that place is on where the hotel was is on the National Register of Historic Places. As is, I might add, the hotel in Boscobel. If you want a little day trip sometime, you can go down to Boscobel, and there's a nice plaque in the foyer. It says this is on the National Register of Historic Places. This is the birthplace of the Gideons. And one of my little favorite side stories that I learned when reading about this is that in 1960, Jack Kennedy, who was not yet president, was campaigning with his wife in the Wisconsin primary. And he knew the story. And he got to Boscobel to spend the night, and he asked if he could be put in the same room where Hill and Nicholson had met all those years ago. And so on one night before the Wisconsin primary, Jack and Jackie stayed in that same hotel in the same room in Boscobel. And again, there's a little plaque in the hotel commemorating that. So anyway, they put 80 Bibles in a hotel in Missoula, Montana. And they start getting good feedback that, wow, people appreciate this. They get to their hotel room, they can open the little nightstand, and there's a Bible for them. People really began to look for that. And so the organization, from that point, their growth was huge. They began raising money in much the same way that we still do now, going to local congregations, explaining what the Gideons do, and looking for donations. And with that plan, they raised money, they bought Bibles, they began placing them in hotels, motels all over the country. That's the story of how the Gideons began. The organization from that time again, grew exponentially. Membership was huge. By the early 1900s, there were thousands of Gideons around the country placing tens of thousands of Bibles. And one of the people who noticed their work was a fellow named Teddy Roosevelt, who was the President of the United States. And Teddy was inspired by this. He wrote a letter to the organizers from the White House and said, this is a wonderful thing you're doing. I want you to know that I'm very impressed with your work, and I hope it continues to go well, and you'll be in my prayers. And they sent him a membership card. And so Teddy Roosevelt became the first and so far only president to be a Gideon. Some of you, again, this is a little history aside, Roosevelt is famous, of course, for his talk about, you want to speak softly but carry a big stick. And what most people don't know is the speech where he used that phrase was a speech given at the Minnesota State Fair. And he went to the Minnesota State Fair because he was on a trip to go to the Gideons National Convention down in Iowa. He went there, was applauded, gave a little speech, talked about how happy he was to be included in the organization. Then he took the train to Minneapolis and ended up giving the walk softly and carry a big stick speech at the Minnesota State Fair. So the organization grows and grows, and the Lord is generous to it. The Lord provides for incredible growth in this organization to the point where we've now given almost a billion copies of Scripture around the world. We've grown into a large worldwide organization. There are Gideons operating in about 145 countries. We distribute scripture in about 50 different languages. And it's just been a successful ministry, blessed by God for all these years. And it's been that way because of local congregations that provide the support. I'll mention this later when I talk during the service, but we our primary source of running the organization, all of the organizational costs, our headquarters, our overhead, those costs are borne by the Gideons themselves. We pay annual dues, we take monthly offerings at our meetings. Every dollar that congregations donate to the Gideons goes directly to the distribution and printing of scripture. And not too many organizations can tell you that you're not donating for overhead or staff or a huge headquarters. You can be assured that when you give to the Gideons, everything goes, as I said, directly to the printing and distribution of scripture. Speaking of printing, I'll mention this book again. It's called Witness to History. And it was, I think it came out about a year and a half ago, the full story of the Gideons. I'm not sure if an organization that's marketed itself so well, for some reason, they don't make this available in bookstores. If you have anyone that you know that you might, this makes a great Christmas present. If you got someone that reads, you can order these through a Gideon. It's a $29 book, and if you have any interest in that, let me know at the end of the service, and we can make arrangements for me to order one for you. That's basically our history. And I guess all I've got left is if you've got some questions, if there's things you'd like to know, anything else about the Gideons, I'd be happy to try to answer your questions. Sir?
How long have you been with the Gideons?
I joined the Gideons in 2007, so I just passed my 15th anniversary with them. I'll use that share a story I told. Every year we have a pastor appreciation banquet every October. We throw a little luncheon in Red Wing, and I know you've been with us a bit for that, because we want to just let the pastors know how we appreciate the opportunity to come share with your congregations. And I told the pastors just this past month when we had our luncheon down in Red Wing that the way we get new members is we get recommendations from pastors. And I told the story, but I grew up in a church up in central Minnesota in the Christian Reformed denomination, a very conservative Protestant denomination, and we had the Gideons there once a year. And as a kid, I loved it. This guy would show up and he'd tell these incredible stories about what one little Bible would do, and I loved it. If I'd seen the bulletin that Gideons are going to be here next week, I'd be so excited to go to church next Sunday because I wanted to hear these Gideon stories. And so I knew about the organization as a young kid. Grew up, loved hearing the stories. We'd still get the Gideons to come to our church in Red Wing every once in a while. And yet it never dawned on me that I could be a Gideon. Even though I knew about the organization, I loved the work, it never even crossed my mind. And then one day, some of the Good Hugh County Gideons were making the rounds at several churches, and they got to First Covenant in Red Wing, where I attend, and asked the pastor, you know, do you know anybody in this congregation that might be interested in being a Gideon? And the pastor, bless his heart, gave them my name. And he was our pastor for years after that. He's retired now, but I still see him from time to time. And every time I see him, I thank him for that he gave them my name. Because they came and found me and said, we're having a meeting next month. We'd like you to show up. And I did, and I got involved in the work. It's been an incredible blessing to me to be part of the Gideons, and all because my pastor gave them my name. That's how we find people. I told that story at our pastor appreciation luncheon, and I said, there's someone in your congregation who needs to be blessed by becoming a Gideon. And so we kind of put that challenge out to the pastors to think about who in the organization, who in their congregation, might want to be part of the Gideons. Some people are kind of back away from it because they think, I can't go stand in front of a church and talk to people. I don't want to do that. And there's much more to the Gideon organization. There are a number of roles. We have people who go take their time going around to the hotels just to make sure that their Bibles are replenished. People sometimes take the Bibles, which we encourage. The average Bible in a hotel room has the opportunity to be seen by several hundred people every year. And some people are taken enough with it that they go, yeah, I want this. And so they take the Bible, and we're happy that they do that. So we have people go around to the hotels and say, do you need more Bibles? And we'll replace them, make sure that the ones that have been taken are replaced and are still there for people. There are other Gideons who spend their time going around to the different churches, not on Sunday, but to talk to the pastors and try to schedule speakers to come in. There are Gideons who do some speaking. Now, in our camp, there are only two of us that do church speaking. About 15, 16 years ago, about the time I was joining, some of the feedback that Gideons got from pastors and from congregations was that your speakers aren't always very interesting. They can drone on and on. They won't talk very well, and they don't do great presentations. And so the Gideons put a policy in place where every 3 years, if you want to do church speaking, you have to go to speaker qualification school. And you've got to get up in front of about 40 or 50 other Gideons, and you have to do your little 5-minute presentation, and they critique you. And if you do that and they think you're doing okay, then you're certified as a Gideon speaker. So out of I think we're at 14 or 15 members in Goodhue County now, there are only two of us that have gone through speaker qualification. And so we do that. I got a little long-winded with that answer, but that's for about 15 years. And this is 2 or 3 Sundays a month. We got a new pastor at First Covenant in Red Wing about a year ago. And I introduced myself to him, and I said, you know, we're glad you're here, but you're not going to see me very often. And I don't want you to think I'm skipping school or skipping church every Sunday. But I'm off doing the Gideon stuff 2 or 3 Sundays a month. And 6 months later, he said, you're right, I never see you. But anyway, anything else? No, sir.
So you have camps, you're saying, in
yes.
Each county?
In each, well, they're different. And for instance, Hennepin County, which is huge, has 3 or 4 camps.
Okay.
We have a Goodhue County camp. There's an Olmsted County camp. There's a Winona County camp. Down centered around Houston, down in the corner. They have a very active group down there as well. But that's the basic organization of the Gideons is these local camps. Now we get together once a year. We have a state convention. Once a year we have a national convention. Excuse me. But that's our basic organization. We get together once a month. Just up the road at the covered bridge in Zumbrota. We get together the last Wednesday of every month. We share a meal, we share some devotions, and we plan our little activities for the month. But that's the basic setup of the organization.
How many members do you guys have in the nation?
Say again, I'm sorry.
How many members?
I think we have 14 members now in Goodhue County. Some of them were members for a long time, and they're older now, and they don't always attend. But generally, our meeting is 7 to 9 of us at the.
Like the country, how big is the country's membership?
Oh, how many Gideons worldwide?
Worldwide, yeah.
I'd have to look that up. Off the top of my head, I want to say there's something like 700,000 around the world. Interestingly, one of the places where they're growing very well and they're doing a lot of work right now is in Ukraine, because in the areas that the Russians control, as I understand it, they've more or less banned religious services, and you can't travel outside your area, and so a lot of these fellows have time on their hands now, so they're putting extra work into their Gideon ministry, and they're working all over Ukraine spreading scripture. Yes, sir.
Are you guys finding any resistance kind of with the way things are in the world right now? Are people still welcoming the kids to be?
I'll talk about that in 2 different ways. Number one, in terms of our distribution, yes, it's harder. Some hotel chains have decided they don't want to do that, that they don't want to risk offending someone by having them find a Bible in their room. Most of them are still pretty good. The last estimate I saw was at about 85% of the hotel rooms in the country still have a Gideon Bible in them. But there are some chains that have decided not to do that. Locally, it was strange because for years we had a wonderful relationship with Treasure Island. They've got that big hotel there. I think they've got a total of 600 rooms, 650 rooms. And for years, they were very welcoming to us. We brought them scriptures, and they'd call us once in a while and say, you know, we could use another 30 or 40. They've disappeared. We had a wonderful relationship. And then they built that big new wing, and we said, great, we can bring you another 250 or whatever you need. And they said, well, we're kind of going a different direction now. And so we were not able to get in there. We spend time in a little prayer about that every month, trying to change their hearts a little bit. So that's on the hotel side, that's it. On the church side, that's more interesting to me. There are a number of churches. There was a time 30 years ago when virtually every church, every Protestant congregation would have a Gideon come in. And now we're finding, as churches, I don't want to use the word because it has a political connotation, but as churches become more liberal, some of them have decided that they're not fans of the work of the Gideons. And so there are a number of churches, it breaks my heart, and right in Red Wing, there are probably six or seven churches that have decided that we don't want the Gideons here anymore. The strangest story in that regard, I was with a local pastor in Red Wing, and showed up and said, you know, we'd like to come and speak once in a while. Well, she said, you know, what version of the Bible do you use? And I said, well, the King James or the New King James is what most of our scripture is printed in. Well, she says, that's my problem. She said, you know, that's not very inclusive language. And so, you know, I just don't think what you're doing really meshes with our ministry very well, because it can be kind of sexist language in there, and so we really don't like the King James and the New King James Version. And so, you know, I'm not going to argue with someone too much, but I said, okay, I understand. And I mentioned that a few weeks later, I bumped into a fellow who was part of the state leadership, and I told him that story. And he said, do you know why we use the King James and the New King James? And I said, no, I don't. And it comes down to something called copyright. The King James is so old, the New King James, they're out of their copyright years. Generally, if you copyright something, you have 50 years of protection in that. Someone can't use that without paying you a royalty. And the King James and New King James are out of copyright, so we don't have to pay any copyright fees. Now, I mentioned we distribute about 90 million copies of Scripture a year. If for every one of those copies we had to pay a 10-cent copyright fee, we'd have to go out and raise $9 million a year just to pay copyright fees, which we don't think is a very effective use of the funds that churches are kind enough to donate to us. So that's why we use the King James and the New King James. We also run into some resistance from churches because the Gideons and are an organization that was set up as Christian businessmen. Now, we have an auxiliary. Most of the wives of the Gideons are part of something called the Gideons Auxiliary, and their mission is largely taking care of hospitals and nursing homes, making sure that they have the Bibles there. But Gideons are men, and the auxiliary are the women. And some churches find that to not be inclusive, that a woman can't be a Gideon unless she's married to a Gideon and becomes part of the auxiliary. So we get some resistance on that, that people perceive that. And I've wrestled with that myself. Sometimes I think we'd grow faster if we had women involved, because they tend to get things done sometimes a little more effectively than we do. And I grew up in a church where back in the 60s, the women really didn't have any formal roles, and I didn't think anything of it, but we've all become a little more enlightened. But what my church experienced, the church I grew up in, is that suddenly it was easier to find those Sunday school teachers and other things to get things done when you let women take leadership roles. And so I struggle with that a little bit as well, but that's one of the reasons some churches are a little bit reluctant to us. They view us as not quite as enlightened as we should be. Anything else?
Schools.
Those are getting trickier as well. That's been a big part of the distribution. In the early years of the Gideons, it was very common to go to fourth grade classes. That was a year. You could go to a school, hand out Bibles, to little testaments to every fourth grader. And then the Supreme Court decided that was not permissible. And so we took to the sidewalks. And one of our things is to stand on a sidewalk as schools get out, and we hand out testaments to kids as they're leaving school, between school and the buses. And we still do that. We do that in a number of places. However, a lot of schools, for example, my own Red Wing, the high school's built on its own campus. In order for us to stand on the sidewalk and hand out scripture, it has to be a public sidewalk. It can't be school property. And so in Red Wing, we've essentially been blocked out of that because there's no way to get close to the school without all being school property. But we still do any place where we can get on a public sidewalk. We've done it here in Pine Island. We've done it in Lake City. Trying to think where else. If we've done Zumbrota. And we still hand them out to the schools. And we also do distribution on college campuses. And every year I get that email about the 1st of August saying, you know, the University of Minnesota is getting ready to reopen, and we're going to have our distribution on such and such a day. And I've tried to always go and be a part of that. It can be a challenging day because colleges are full of really, really genius 20-year-olds who know all the answers to everything. And you can have some interesting discussions, we'll say, with college students. But we try to get around to the colleges and do that as well once a year. Anything else? Well, if not, I'll turn it back to you. And again, thank you for the chance to share. There are a few things that are more of a blessing to me than the chance to get out and talk about the work of the Gideons. I'll have a little story to share with you during the service, and thank you very much for your time.
Well, I'm always blessed, and I like to learn more, and I was encouraged that I'd forgotten that the primary, at least, reason for the fellowship initially was just for Christian fellowship of men traveling and stuff, and so what a blessing that is to hear and to learn. And Teddy Roosevelt, I'll take that one. I'll hold on to that one for a while. That was good. So, I'll close this in prayer. And then, are there in the back? We're celebrating a birthday today, so we have some donuts in the back. There's some, so go ahead and have a donut if you're able, and wish my wife a happy birthday. So let's close Sunday school in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today and for just how good you are to us. Lord, we thank you that you've given to us your word, and that, Lord, your word is true. And, Lord, we just thank you that we can know you by knowing what you have said and what you have done, and you've made that primarily known to us in your word. I thank you for the ministry of the Gideons, that their faithfulness to want to just get your word in the hands of people. I thank you, Lord, for the places that they can operate, the churches and individuals who are encouraging and or partnering with them. Lord, may the stories that we never hear of the Bible that was received, the Bible that was found, the Bible that was taken from a hotel room, Lord, may those stories continue to be written and that we can rejoice in when we hear them fully in the kingdom. Bless us this morning in Christ's name. Amen.